How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar. How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar. How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar. How can you deny the oneness of Allah? Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد كيف تكون إيجابيا مع لقاء آخر تحت عنوان الدعوة في سبيل الله another topic relating to da'wah we will be discussing tonight inshallah how to be positive when you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there's no doubt that you have to be positive in everything that you do and everything that you will face you have to know that there isn't any truth more clear than the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to us through the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this ummah will never go astray as long as they hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to be positive? What do we mean by being positive? To be beneficial to yourself and beneficial to others. How to benefit yourself and benefit others by knowing your obligation as a da'iyah, someone who has to do something for this religion. Number two, to be a believer. To hurt for what you see. You see that everyone is deviating away from the straight path, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings pain to you. Not just pain that makes you sit, groan and yawn. No, it makes you move positively to do something to that. It makes you take an action to change. It's not something that puts you down, it's something that makes you move forward to do something about it. You have to be positive that the truth eventually will be above everything and the falsehood will be down. Regardless of how many trials and tribulations that you see and how many bad things that you see happening and taking place, the truth will be up with a condition that we have to know the truth and we have to explain the truth. We have to know the truth and we have to explain the truth, then definitely the truth will rise above. And as I said before, to carry this truth, you need real men. And to raise real men is not an easy task. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of determination, takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of you really have to, there's nothing better than looking at how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. The best example to us is the companions. How did and what did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do to raise such a generation who have given their life, literally their life and everything that they own for the sake of this religion. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started alone, started the da'wah alone. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, kum fa'andhir. Kum fa'andhir. He was commanded to pass the message. So he went alone, calling people to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Telling people, save yourself from the hellfire. He started alone, then he started to build a generation. He started to raise those who accepted the da'wah and started to teach them and show them by action and by commands. Shows him what to do, he tells him what to do, then he shows him in action how to do it. So they entered Islam voluntarily. And they learned everything from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once they accepted Islam, tests started to pour upon them. This is a reality, that when you become a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you. He can test you with health, he can test you with wealth, he can test you with family, he can test you with job. He can test you with anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. But those tests are according to your faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not test you with something so big that your faith cannot take it yet. The companions radiallahu anhum, their faith was very big and very strong. Therefore, they were tested. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah yaqul, من أراد أن تدوم له السلامة والعافية من غير بلاء فما عرف التكليف ولا أدرك التسليم. Anyone who thinks that he's going to live happily and he's going to live healthy and he is going to live in peace, he did not understand what obligations are and submission is. Obligations and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that you will be tested. So the companions radiallahu anhum were tested tremendously, to the point that sometimes they had to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him for help. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ala tastansiru lana, ala tad'u lana. Said, O Prophet of Allah, can't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us victory? Can't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, to help us? Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. He used to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answer them how? Not by going with them and say, okay, let me see who is bothering you and let's fight him. Or let me go find someone who can help you. Or let's get... No, he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite to them stories from the people before us. What happened to them and how they dealt with it. Even him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. You're not the only one who was disbelieved. You're not the only one who has been ridiculed. Many messengers before you went through the same thing. How did they succeed? They were patient until victory came. Meaning, if you are patient, victory will come. When is it going to come? Allah knows. But it will come. إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Our messengers and the believers will eventually be granted victory in this life and in the hereafter. When? Patience. Don't hasten it. Believe that it's there. And it will come. But it will come in the right time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it. He used to give them the stories. For instance, he told Khabbab radiallahu anhu, قال كان الرجل في من قبلكم يحفر له في الأرض فيجعل فيه فيجاء بالمنشار فيوضع على رأسه فيشق باثنتين وما يصده ذلك عن دينه. Said, you're complaining? Well, before you, they used to bring the man, dig a hole in the ground, put him in the hole, bring a chainsaw, put it on his head, in the middle of his head, and they used to cut him to two pieces. It will not change his mind to become a disbeliever. Meaning, the threat is there. It's imminent. It's been done before. It's going to happen to him. And he still says, I'm not changing. Do it. And then he added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيُمْشَطُ بِأَمْشَاطِ الْحَدِيدِ مَا دُونَ لَحْمِهِ مِنْ عَظْمٍ أَوْ عَصَبٍ وَمَا يَصُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Imagine when they get combs, metal combs, that they skin their flesh away from their veins and their bones, and it still does not make them change their faith. والله ليتمن الله هذا الأمر حتى يسير الراكب حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضر موت لا يخاف إلا الله أو الذئب على غنمه ولكنكم تستعجلون. He said, by Allah, there will come a time that a person, a shepherd, will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut, two cities, big distance. He will not fear anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wolf on his sheep. Yani, peace will be prevailing everywhere. You will be victorious. But look at the problem. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You're hasty. You know he's talking to whom? Khabbab ibn al-Arat. You know what they used to do to him? They used to, he was a slave, and the woman who was a slave to, she used to heat up coals, the coals that you make barbecue on, and she used to lay him on top of it, take his shirt off, and put his back straight on the coals, the hot coals. And this is something that we heard, but how it was confirmed at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he asked him one time, he said, what was the worst thing that you have seen during the pagans' time? Yani, before they migrated. Khabbab ibn al-Arat did not speak to him, did not say a single word. All he did is he turned around, lifted his shirt, and showed him his back. Holes, literally holes in his back, where the hot coals used to burn his flesh deep. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh cried so hard when he saw that. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling him what? You're hasty. You're asking for victory too quick. Picture that, and picture how we are and what we do and what kind of suffering do we have, and we are complaining all the time. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed Surah Al-Muzzammil, يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to establish Qiyam al-Layl. It's not voluntary, it's an obligation on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And recite the Quran properly. Prepare yourself for something major, because Qiyamul Layl is going to connect you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to strengthen you so much so you will be physically and mentally and spiritually ready for what's coming. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا we're going to reveal upon you heavy, heavy speech. Heavy speech. What do we mean by heavy speech? We're talking about the Quran here. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu one time came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, wallahi inni la uhibbuk. He said, radiyallahu anhu, inni uhibbuka ya Rasulallah illa nafsi. Yani, I love you, O Prophet of Allah, more than anything except myself. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, you have to love me more than yourself. Immediately he said, وَنَفْسِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ and myself. Emotions, brothers, cannot be changed in a second. I cannot be telling you I don't love you and in one second I tell you I love you. This is a lie, this is fake. But it's a command. This is Sharia, this is Deen. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than yourself and more than your family. So you submit to it right away. He knew who is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Logically and mentally, he knows that how good he is, and it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, he submits to it. We're not talking emotions here, we're talking obligations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Now when we talk about the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Qur'an is being facilitated. Qur'an is very easy to read, very easy to remember for those people who submitted to it and willing to read it. If you decide to learn Qur'an, it's not hard. We see the young ones do it, we see the old ones do it, we see those who don't speak Arabic do it. So it's not hard. So how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we're going to reveal something heavy upon you? The heaviness or the weight, the big weight of the Quran is not in that, it is in the da'wah. It is in carrying that Quran and passing it to other people. It is in teaching others and not hating others and be patient with others so you can pass this message to them without complaints. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told by the angel of the mountains, command me, I'm at your command and I will close the two mountains on the people of At-Ta'if and it's over for you. Yes, they hurt you, they harmed you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard your dua, I am here to give you victory. I'll finish him from the beginning to the end. The answer of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? No, I'm not looking for victory right now only. I'm looking for victory now and in the future. And the victory of the future is, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring someone from their progeny, someone from their children who says La ilaha illallah. It's not going to be successful here with the men, but maybe it's going to be successful and fruitful with their kids thereafter. Look at the hope that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have, and this is what every person who carry the da'wah has to have, this hope, positiveness. You have to be positive, not for right now, but also for the future. The Quran. The teaching in the Quran, the obligations are heavy. The prohibitions are heavy. Why? Because they're against your whims and desires. It's not easy for you to do. Why? Because yourself likes otherwise. Yourself doesn't like to be patient. Yourself doesn't like to fast. Yourself wants to eat and drink all the time. Not to fast from the morning until sunset. Not to be there on time for the salah, not to wake up in Fajr prayer, not to take money out of your pocket and give for someone else. Yourself doesn't like that. Yourself likes to have everything she likes, whether it is halal or haram, doesn't care for that. So the obligations of the Quran are heavy. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Also, the The rewards of the Quran are heavy too. Simple deeds, lots of rewards. Simple deeds that you can do, or simple things that you can say, كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Two words, very light on the tongue, very heavy on the scale. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. لا إله إلا الله. One word weighs more than heavens and earth in rewards. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. So this is the meaning of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing something heavy upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the companions learned from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, followed his ways, and they were brought up in the best way that they can. In a matter of 20 years or so, they have fulfilled a big mission. They have fulfilled a big mission as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was receiving the Quran in the period of 23 years. So the truth, Islam, the truth, the Quran, the truth, the Sunnah requires real men to carry that and to face with it all difficulties. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said in Surah Al-Anbiya, بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we cast the truth against the falsehood so that it breaks its head and it vanishes. Truth breaks the head of the falsehood and makes it vanish, makes it go away. But the truth has to be revealed, and it has to be explained, and it has to be delivered. If you don't know the truth, and if you don't explain the truth and pass the truth, how can the truth do that to the falsehood? So there's nothing more clearer than the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one what we have, because it is comprehensive, because it is according to it, it goes along with the logic and with the fitrah, and in it lies the happiness of this world and the hereafter. أقسم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن هذه الأمة لن تضل ما تمسكت به. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was so sure that if you hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah, you will not go astray. And Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم passed it and proved to us that it was the absolute truth that crushed the falsehood. When he sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquered Mecca, what was he saying? وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Say that the truth came and the falsehood disappeared, because the falsehood will never stay. The falsehood, the fake, will not stay. Always the real thing. So why we don't have people who are so positive to establish what the companions have established? Is it because we have weakness in our aqidah, or we have weakness and doubt in our capabilities, or maybe we have fear that the falsehood has more capabilities than ours? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply told us, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get rid of you, get someone else who is different than you, who is ready to take this truth and face all hardship without any complaints and with patience and persistence. My dear brothers and sisters, one thing that we need to know, that we should never underestimate our capabilities. We should never look at ourselves as we are weak, or who am I and what can I do? Evil is so big and so much, and I cannot be everywhere. I cannot do everything by myself. Don't look at that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us two examples. I'm going to give you two stories from the Quran that makes you so positive in your da'wah when you think about it and compare yourself. Number one, Qissat al-Namla, the ant. The ant in Surah al-Naml. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ حتى إذا أتوا على واد النمل قالت نملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. Ants in the street, army for Sulaiman عليه السلام, human being, birds, jinn, everything, an army coming. Ants in the street. Where are the ants? I mean, they're going to crush them for sure. They're going to walk all over them. Do they mean it? No. And the ant knows that. As soon as the ant realized there is a danger, she proclaimed loud, ladies and gentlemen, there is a big threat coming your way. Run to your homes, or you're going to be crushed by Sulaiman and his soldiers unknowingly. Which tells you that it's not an enemy who's attacking you. It is someone by mistake, without seeing you, he's going to harm you. Yet, this one single ant stood up, proclaimed. She didn't say to the ants around her, let's go. No, she screamed for every ant. She didn't say, who am I? I should save myself and let someone else do that. She didn't only say that because she knew that there is, just like I said, there is a real enemy, but it is Sulaiman, and she said, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. So if one ant can do all of this, can have this positiveness. Positive, she took an action. Positive, she screamed for everyone. Positive, she was the only one who did that. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ, those ants were so much, so many, so big, to the point that the whole valley was named after them. And she is the only one who did that. If an ant can do that, can make a da'wah and take care of the whole mound, we cannot do anything, or we cannot be positive about our da'wah. It's amazing. Look at the hudhud. وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرِ. Sulaiman عليه السلام checked the birds. فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدِ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. They said, where is the hudhud, the hoopoe? Or he is absent. Boy, he's gonna get it. لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Look at the choices. I'm going to severely punish him, or I'm going to slaughter him, or he better come up with a good excuse why he's not here. فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. Not too long, here comes the hudhud. Look at the proclamation of the hudhud. Look at the reasoning of the hudhud to Sulaiman, to Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. He said, إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ امْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجِدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. A bird goes to the town of Sheba, and he is surprised to find a queen there and her people prostrating and worshipping the sun instead of Allah. Amazing. someone out there worship someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as something that the Hudhud could not believe. And that's why he said, أَلَّا يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبَأَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Can they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who brings the rain and the one who brings the fruits and the vegetation, the one who has and the one who controls and the one who creates and the one who gives the... What's wrong with those people? Well, he doesn't speak their language and he's not a human being and he cannot do much about it. He just hated it so much in his heart. But hating it is not enough. Because when you want to enjoin good and forbid evil, you have to do something. You have to do change it by action, change it verbally, or hating it in your heart if you can't do anything. Well, you could say, well, the bird hated it in his heart, but we say, no, he hated it, but he can do something. What is it? There is someone who speaks his language. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he is a da'iyah. And he enjoins good and forbid evil, and he can do something about it. So he came back to whom? To Sulaiman alayhi salam. And because of this little message, my brothers and sisters, the entire town entered Islam. So a bird brings a whole town to Islam, and me and you cannot work on one person. Isn't that too much weakness? Where is the positivity? How can you, I mean, you know, a bird can do more than you can. Now that should make you depressed. You're out of it. We need to be positive. If a bird can do it, if an ant can do it, I'm sure a human being, an intelligent human being, with mind, with brain, with power, with capabilities, with everything, can do a lot more than a bird can do, and can do a lot more than what an ant can do. Brothers and sisters, it is the mas'uliyah, responsibility. Responsibility that when you sit and you see the problems left and right, and you find yourself just nodding your head or shaking your head, complaining about what's going on, and saying, where should I start? Everything is so bad. Everything is gone. Hopelessness. You feel that you lost every hope that you can reconcile or reform or do anything right, bring people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see that the whole world is being destroyed. But the problem, my dear brothers and sisters, is to know that the people of the falsehood are working day and night. And if someone not having the truth, patient, working all the time, what about the person who have the truth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا. صَابِرُوا يعني be more patient than your enemy. Be more patient than those who have the falsehood. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message, say la ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from the hellfire. You will be successful. They understood what la ilaha illallah means. So in Surah Sa'd, they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. He made all the gods one god? So strange. Now what did they decide? They decided on the following. أَنِمْشُوا وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ يُرَادٌ وَانْطَلَقَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْهُمْ. People, the elite one, the rich one, the one who has the word in the final decision, they said, let's go. Let's be more patient. Let's persevere, because this is required from you to do that. To stay on your falsehood requires patience, perseverance, and action. And then you come back to the truth and the people with the truth, not even rising to the same level of the of those who are rising for the falsehood. Everyone can do something. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he could not join Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Badr. He was 13 years old, but he was very intelligent. His mom gave him to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he learned a language in a matter of days. That is positiveness in da'wah. Al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, his house was the first school for Prophet Muhammad and the companions to teach him the da'wah. He was 16 years old. This one used his intelligence to learn a language so he'll be translating for Prophet Muhammad. The other one, he has a place, he gave it for the sake of the da'wah, for the sake of spreading the truth. Everyone can do something, brothers and sisters, for the da'wah. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Even if you know a verse, or just simply a hadith, go ahead and teach it to someone, and inshallah you will get the reward. So the whole point is, be always positive. Don't look at da'wah, it's one aspect. It's just sitting and giving a lecture. It's not. You can help in avenues of da'wah are plenty. You can help in so many aspects of the da'wah and be a part of this da'wah and a part of spreading the truth. Especially when you see the falsehood is spreading little by little until now it is what we call yani general inflection. Everything is inflicted with calamities. And we see that so many of it, even the rules of the religion, has been twisted a little bit because the calamities are so big that you can't even avoid it. Give you an example. Usually smoking starts secretly from the family. Then it comes slowly. Then it becomes secretly only from the father. Then after that, you ignore the father and everyone. Same thing when you talk about hijab. Hijab is the same way, little by little. Maybe the woman will not wear the hijab that is proper hijab. Maybe she will show a little bit from her forehead. Maybe she shows some hairs. Maybe she saw something, and after that she takes the hijab completely. The same thing when you talk about mixing. Maybe okay, you'll be far away in the same area. Then maybe a little bit far away, opposite in the same table. Then after that you become chair next to another chair. The same thing with music. Maybe you start only with having it in the marriage parties or in Eid. Then after that you go, oh, as long as it is not having haram and this and that, or maybe this sheikh said it is accepted, so you start taking little by little, and over it spread everywhere and you cannot avoid it. Brothers, our self is created in a way that it does not settle with the minimum, always wants to go to the max. And when it goes to the max, it gets bored quickly. You have to change. And that is what happened to music. You cannot say, okay, classical music is okay, because you're going to get tired of classical music and you want to change to some other music. And this is the reality. This is the reality. You get bored. They program everything according. That's why you can hear music that makes you cry. You can hear music that makes you go crazy. You can hear music that makes you want to dance. They make all of this to play with the emotions and the feeling of the people. It occupies the person. It turns him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the shaitan at that time will just play with you left and right. Why all of this? Why it became so widespread? Simply because people are far away from their deen. They don't know the religion. Or they don't have the real shyness, the real jealousy about the religion. Yani, you look at someone committing a sin, someone drinking alcohol, for instance, you look at him as, oh, look at that. He's drinking alcohol, astaghfirullah. And you smile and you just walk away. That's, you are wonderful if you say that, if you say astaghfirullah. You might just look and go, and just go. And some people don't even shake their head because it became so natural to see all the haram taking place because we got used to it. It is because we don't really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because our hearts die. Brothers, sins bring up more sins. One sin will pull another sin, another sin, another sin, until you have too many sins. And this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person who sins a lot, his heart dies. It's not moved when you tell him this is haram or this is wrong. Rather, they're willing to sit and argue with you for a whole day to prove to you that this is normal, this is the way. This is like, I heard it one time. I'll give you an example. I heard it one time, one person taking the story of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when he raced with Aisha radiallahu anha. Look how he took the story. He said, now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was racing with his wife. Look how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with his wives. Look how he used to entertain his wife. He was racing with Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, can we see the brothers in the park or maybe around the masjid here, everybody take his wife and start running because racing one another because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was racing with Aisha? How come we don't see that? So we should start seeing that, brothers. We should have everyone take his wife and copy Prophet Muhammad. This is the message that he was giving. He forgot that Prophet Muhammad was going into a battle. And he commanded the army to move forward. And he took Aisha in the back. And when the army moved forward, we know who we are talking about, the most dignified, honored, pure people in the whole world, the companions. They're not going to peek. They're not going to turn their heads and look and see what's going on. They understood that he commanded move forward for a reason. He made the race with Aisha radiallahu anha. So who saw them? Nobody. None of the companions saw Prophet Muhammad ﷺ running with Aisha radiallahu anha, because this is not fitting. This is not suitable to do in front of men. But ignorance of the religion makes people conclude this is how we should do. And that is a disaster. You have some people who are selfish. They say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, alaykum anfusakum. They take this ayah. Don't worry about other people. Let's worry about ourselves. I mean, that'll be hopeful a little bit even if we worry about ourselves. But this ayah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, he said this ayah, if you enjoin good and forbid evil, and the people don't respond to you, they don't accept your message, then don't worry about them accepting it or not. As long as you acting upon that, it doesn't matter to you if others do or not, as long as you pass it to them. It's not like I teach myself and I say to hell for everyone, as long as I am going to heaven or I'm doing what's heaven. No, I make da'wah to you, but I should not worry about you listening or not listening. I love for you to listen, but if you don't, what counts is I did my duty, I was positive, I made the da'wah, and I myself already saved myself because I submitted to what I'm calling other people for. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal used to say, مَعَ الْمَحْبَرَ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَةِ, with the pen all the way to the graveyard. Meaning I'm going to keep on holding that pen and writing and seeking knowledge until I die. You know why he said that? Because one of his students, he saw Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, was running after another scholar who was riding on his donkey or horse, running next to his side trying to take something from him and write it. He saw him, one of his students, and he said, "Oh Imam, how long are you going to keep on doing that?" In other words, you are a scholar. You becoming very old. Enough of this. He told him, "I'm going to continue on doing that until I die." Because this is seeking knowledge. This is the true seeking knowledge, brothers and sisters, is to continue on learning because you will never stop learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. Allah will never destroy a nation because of their injustice while there are some people in it who are enjoining good and forbidding evil. But when those people are extinct, it's over for the people. The good and the bad will go together. Why? Because they have abandoned enjoining good and forbidding evil. The best quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described us with, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. يعني you were the best of all nations. We condemned those nations before you. We were angry at those people before you because كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوا. They never used to enjoin good and forbid evil. Now you're coming, you becoming the best because of enjoining good and forbidding evil. Therefore, if you abandon that, then what is left for you? What's the difference between you and others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict you with a punishment. Zainab radiallahu anha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she was hearing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, أَنَهْلَكُ وَفِينَا الصَّالِحُونَ. You think we're going to be punished and destroyed, and we have righteous people? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثُ, if the sins become widespread. And why the sins become widespread? Because no enjoining good and no forbidding evil. Brothers and sisters, being positive means that you take that da'wah on your shoulders and you teach it. You have the confidence with the victory. You have the truth. You're carrying the truth. You're calling for the truth. It is for the best of your interest and the best of the interest of everyone in this world and the hereafter. When you are doing that, you are distinguished in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the virtue of a knowledgeable person in comparison to a person who is not knowledgeable but secluding himself for worship is like the virtue of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the least faithful person. Not to the best, to the least. Look at the distance between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the least faithful. This is how the virtue of you as a person who seeks knowledge to the person who does nothing but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeking knowledge. This is the virtue of seeking knowledge. This is how it makes you go for it. Angels, the people who, the dwellers of heavens and earth, even the ant, even the fish, all of them making dua on the person who teaches other people goodness. Yani, a person, a positive person who's making da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the companions, I'll conclude with that, yaqul, I have seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 years in Mecca, and he was encountering the people at the time of Hajj. He goes to them and he presents the message of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get bored. He doesn't restrict himself or limit himself to one area. He goes everywhere carrying the torch of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, teaching people goodness, and he is our great example. He is our great example. And this religion is a trust, my dear brothers and sisters, in our necks. And this mas'uliyah is upon our shoulder, and we should transfer it and pass it to other people. So when we go, we have someone else who is carrying that responsibility from our children and the people around us. Therefore, be positive and know that it doesn't matter who you are, you have goodness in you and you can do something. But all it takes is know what you're doing, be patient, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be sincere, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. In the least, you save yourself from the curse and the punishment if people don't respond to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are positive and carrying the message, positive in delivering the message. If you have any question, we will take few. Otherwise, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.